time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It's the Worship and Wellness Broadcast, the Ministry of Torso. This is Pastor Sheldon Flemons with Sister Maria Flemons and our family from all around the world. We welcome you to worship with us this morning. At this time, my wife, Undreamed Up, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together to be able to open up your word and worship you. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And now we pray that your spirit will go forth and teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. And as always, we pray for grace and wisdom as we draw close to you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
Title is The Greatest Want of the World. What is the greatest want of the world? What does this world need? Does it need money? Does it need more powerful people? What does the world need? Well, to answer this question, I have three quotations that I'm going to use. But before I give you the quotations, I want to tell you something from the Bible because it's important. If you go in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 12, okay, verse 17, because I believe it's important if we're coming from the Word of God or if we quote someone outside the Bible, it would be nice that we have authority to do so. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. And the Bible says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Now, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12, that is Revelation 12, I'm sorry. But if you go earlier in the chapter, the Bible tells us very clearly, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil," verse 9, "and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So the dragon that is wroth with the woman is actually Satan. The Bible just told us that the dragon is Satan, the devil. Okay, so who is the woman? Jeremiah 6:2, "I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman." So who is a woman? The daughter of Zion, okay, is a comely, delicate woman. Well, Isaiah chapter 51:16, at the end of the verse says, "Say unto Zion, thou art my people." So Zion is God's people. The daughter of Zion is God's people throughout the ages because daughter is an offspring, okay, daughter of Zion. Okay, so brothers and sisters, that's the church. If you don't believe the Old Testament, the New Testament will tell you in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Jesus says, "I have espoused you to one husband," or Paul was speaking, "I have espoused you to one husband that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So he called the church a female, a virgin, presented to Christ. So, my friends, a woman in the Bible symbolism, in Bible prophecy, in Bible symbolism, is a church. So when the dragon was wroth with a woman, the devil is angry with God's people and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, the last church on earth, the last people of God on this earth, okay? And who were they? They were a people that kept the commandments of God and had the testimony of Jesus. So we know that they must be keeping the seventh-day Sabbath. Why? Because that's one of the Ten Commandments that most people aren't keeping. So if you want to be part of God's remnant, brothers and sisters, this is not something I want from you. Well, yes, it is. It is something I want, but it's not that I want it selfishly. I want you to make it in. I want you to be a part of that great people that please God in these last days. But don't think it's going to be popular to do so. We're going to learn that it's not. As a matter of fact, it's never been popular, friends, since sin has come on this earth to follow God implicitly. It hasn't, I would say rarely, it's rarely been popular to do the right thing. It's usually a minority. But the majority of beings, living beings in this universe, brothers and sisters, greatly outnumber the sinners on this earth. You understand? So when I follow Christ, even if it's not popular, I'm part of the majority because I'm connected to all the angels, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all the worlds without end, okay? This earth is a grain of sand on a seashore of planets that are inhabited. Now, there are some uninhabited planets, but there are many that are inhabited, brothers and sisters. And so that's why they marvel that Jesus would come down. All he had to do was just blink, and this world would have just gone into oblivion. It would just disappeared. But rather than have it disappear, Jesus came and became one of us, part of our race. And therefore, one of us is in the highest, one of the highest places in the universe. That should help you to love him more. So, the dragon is wroth with the people of God who keep God's commandments and have the testimony of Jesus. Well, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, okay? So it's the spirit of prophecy, but what's that? Well, the testimony of Christ in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 6 and 7 says it is a gift for the people who are waiting for the coming of the Lord. So it is a special gift of prophecy given to God's people at the end of time. That would be after the Bible was written. And so, my friends, I have studied the writings of Ellen G. White, and I have not found any discrepancy in principle with the Bible, friends. And therefore, you'll find stuff if you go look on the internet and people talk about plagiarism and all this kind of foolishness. And I'm here to tell you, friends, that that's just a smokescreen. You have to understand laws of plagiarism and those kind of things. We don't have the same laws that we have today regarding intellectual property. So if you found something good, yeah, you might quote it if God is in it. But the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that the writings of Ellen White are inspired. That's what I have found, but you have to find that for yourself. Read a book called Desire of Ages, and you let me know if it doesn't agree with the Bible. Read a book called Great Controversy, and you let me know if it doesn't agree with the Bible. Read a book called Patriarchs and Prophets, Prophets and Kings, and Acts of the Apostles, and let me know if you find something that doesn't agree with the Word of God. So I want to share that with you because God pointed forward from the Bible to a special gift of prophecy given at the end of time. Okay, and so Ellen White has passed away. She passed away in 1915, but she was part of the Great Awakening, the people who began to understand Bible truth, but the Holy Spirit began to speak to her in dreams and visions. And in those dreams and visions, I have not found any thing that would disagree with the Word of the living God. So if you do, let me know. People have tried, but they failed, and I haven't found anyone that can do it thus far, because it can't be done. It is God's word. That being said, but she did say, when you deal with doctrines, if you're trying to prove a point, prove it from the Bible. Okay. Nonetheless, if God gave her some special insights, we should follow it. We should listen. So I want to share some insights with you. There are three quotes because we're talking about the greatest want of the world. I want you to think about church politics. I want you to think about politics in the world. I want you to think about the judicial system and the fairness and the lack of fairness thereof. I want you to just see how people bribe one another, pat each other's pockets, and so on and so forth. We just, you know, in the news recently, of course, you know, Murdoch in South Carolina, the attorney who was convicted of killing his wife and son. He also conspired to take millions of dollars from poor people who had settlements, and he stole their money. And he had a co-conspirator. That co-conspirator was just sentenced to 20 years in prison. So these are top lawyers. These are people you trust, okay? So that being said, the greatest want of the world is the want of men. Men who will not be bought or sold, men who in their inmost souls are true and honest, men who do not fear to call sin by its right name, men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle to the pole, men who will stand for the right, though the heavens fall. Do we have many of those men, brothers and sisters? I'll tell you what, that's the greatest one of the world. Men who stand for the right, though the heavens fall. That kind of man won't take a bribe. Men who are true and honest. Brothers and sisters, how many politicians do you know that you could say that are running our country? How many people who are and have been in the White House can you describe as being not being able to be bought or sold? That means, if it's the right thing to do, I'm going to stand for the right, even if it goes against my party, political party. Men who don't fear to call sin by its right name. Homosexuality is sin. It's not something that gives you the right to say, I should be able to love who I want to love. No, you should not be able to love who you want to love. A drug addict can say, I should be able to love what I want to love, and that's my civil right. And so it should be all right. Using that same logic, it should be all right to take crack cocaine, okay? Men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle to the pole. Men who will stand for the right, though the heavens fall. Brothers and sisters, we don't decide to stand for the right because of so many people that stand for the right. We have to stand for the right because it is right. And that'll bring us to another quote. I'm not sure if it's the next one, but it will be soon. Let me read on, though. It says, but such a character is not the result of accident. It is not due to special favors or endowments of providence. Means it can't be because your uncle was rich or your daddy was rich or whatever. A noble character is the result of self-discipline, of the subjection of the lower to the higher nature, the surrender of self for the service of love to God and man. We just can't do whatever we feel like we want to do. We can't let our minds just wander in any direction. We can't use any gifts and influence and money to just get favors and things of this nature in order to please ourselves. This is not the character. We are self-disciplined men and women that we would stand for the right and let the heavens fall if that's what it takes. So that was from a book called Education. That book changed my life. Although I'm a medical missionary, friends, it wasn't any of the medical books. Some of y'all are familiar with Ministry of Healing and Medical Ministry and Counsels on Diet and Foods, all these wonderful books that have shaped the health message that I have today. What changed my life was the book Education. Why? Because I was going through, God was taking me through a brand new level of commitment and conversion and consecration when I was a student. In my teens, and thinking about what do you want me to do, Lord, and what is my goal in life, so on and so forth. And so I'm walking and matriculating through the colleges of Adventism and seeing things that, like Jesus at the age of 12, walked in and realized the teachers in the school weren't teaching truth. And he began to teach the teachers, you know, when his parents left him there. And they were amazed at his wisdom and knowledge. I'm not trying to say I'm all that. I'm just simply saying I was going through a searching time, okay? At that time, in Jesus' time, they were told in the spirit of prophecy, he began to know who he was around that time, okay? So, just went through a couple of experiences, a couple of different campuses. I'm not even going to mention what campuses they were, but I saw compromise, and I saw this was not the way of the Lord and made a tough decision. In this world of Jesuit education, and they have tricked you into thinking that this education makes you somebody. The Bible says in Proverbs, I believe it's 18, a man's gifts make room for him. That's what the Bible says. The world says your degrees make room for you. Now, I'm not saying that God may not have a calling for some people, and because of their calling, they have to get a degree to be able to function in that calling. But I am here to tell you, friends, that we put way too much honor on a dishonorable educational system. It's dishonorable, friends. It is. Because it is the combination of good and evil. You go to law school today and get a law degree and you're an esteemed lawyer. What did you learn how to do? You learned how to make guilty people look innocent and innocent people look guilty. That's what you learned in school. Friends, you go to theology school and you learn how to defend with different reasonings your own church doctrine. You don't really learn how to study the Bible for yourself, even if that would cause you to have a conclusion different from the church that's training you. That's not what you're taught, but that's how you teach Bible, friends. You just teach Bible to learn truth. If the church is following truth, the student will see that himself, herself, okay? And so much compromise and politics, and we were studying the arts and everything and had to study stuff like Edgar Allan Poe, demon stuff. That was the Harry Potter of his day. Why would we bring demons into our classrooms? Why do we bring those demons into the dorm rooms? We have to study that foolishness. I can prove, you know what, how I can prove that that was foolishness? I got, and this is not bragging, brothers and sisters, but I did get an A in grammar. And your English grade was based on grammar and literature. That at that time, I don't know what they do now, but half of your grade was grammar and half of it was literature. So I learned what God said, and I refused to read it. I would not read Emily Dickinson. When the test came, you know, you had to write down what was meant when she said the wind was blowing through the trees. Now, she was supposedly having an affair with a married man. Why would we study that in God's school? Edgar Allan Poe was talking about demons and darkness and dangers and dragons and just demonic stuff, okay? And I can remember those two because that's who we had to study. And I refused to study it. When I'll tell you this, the girls were having nightmares. They were admitting it. The guys were having nightmares. They were just too proud to admit it, too. I didn't have nightmares because I refused to read it. Guess what? I would write anything. I would write Jesus is Lord. What did Edgar Allan Poe mean when the dragon came around the corner and into the dungeon and Edgar wrote about this? I would say, God is good. I would start repeating, though he speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, and though I have all faith to remove mountains, you know, whatever, I would just start quoting scripture. Guess what? I got a C. I didn't even read it, and I got a C. So my grammar was A, my literature was C, so I got a B in English. They averaged it out. And if I could get that and I didn't even read the foolishness, that should show you it's foolishness. So brothers and sisters, but we say we have to do it because it's part of accreditation. That means the church has gone after the world. We're talking about men and women who refuse to let the church go after the world. That's the kind of character God is looking for, friends. So I'm going to read another quote. This is from Great Controversy, page 460. It says, whatever may be their profession, it is only those who are world servers at heart that act from policy rather than from principle in religious things. Now, it's not saying that policy is always bad, but in religious things, like you can have a family policy that everybody comes home for Christmas. It's like a family tradition. Nothing wrong with that. But in religious things, you can't act from policy. We should choose the right because it is right and leave consequences with God. Did you catch that? We should choose the right because it is right and leave consequences with God. To men of principle, faith, and daring, the world is indebted for its great reforms. By such men, the work of reform for this time must be carried forward. So basically, we need men today of faith, principle, and daring. Well, it says principle, faith, and daring, meaning that doesn't mean you have to go out and try to walk a tightrope. It just means you dare to be a Daniel. Remember that song? Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need people like Daniel who would stand, even though he knew that by praying, as he always did, he was going to be thrown in a den of lions. See, that's what I'm talking about. Do what is right because it is right. Leave the consequences with God. The greatest one of the world, the one of men who will not be bought or sold, men who in their inmost souls are true and honest, true to duty as needle to the pole, brothers and sisters. That's what we're talking about. All right, that was from the book Great Controversy. All these are writings from Ellen White. The first was Education, and that was Education, page 57, and then Great Controversy, page 460, about the greatest want of the world. I have one more I want to share with you. It comes from a beautiful book called Desire of Ages. I will tell you, it's page 121, but I will focus on a particular portion of it, but I'm going to read much more than what I'm going to focus on. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That comes from Matthew 4:4. Often the follower of Christ is brought where he cannot serve God and carry forward his worldly enterprises. You've got to choose between the COVID shot or being able to fly. You've got to choose between the COVID shot. I'm just trying to bring it home, okay? And whether you can get into a school, you see? Often the follower of Christ is brought where he cannot serve God and carry forward his worldly enterprise. Perhaps it appears that obedience to some plain requirement of God will cut off his means of support. Shame on a church that would let its members lose, thousands of its members lose their jobs because they would not honor the word of the Bible and spirit of prophecy and issue a letter which states simply that this person has a religious conviction based on the principles we understand in our church, in the Bible, and spirit of prophecy. That's all the letter had to say. And when they talked at a general conference, the general conference president refused to allow it to happen, and he influenced the delegates not to have a discussion on the topic. Shame on him. God loves him, but he must repent, brothers and sisters. But that was political. The church gets lots of money from the government for its hospitals and all of that kind of stuff. And it was that, most likely, the reason why they wanted to go along to get along. And they put and they threw their people under the bus. Satan would make him believe that he must sacrifice his conscientious convictions. But the only thing in our world upon which we can rely is the word of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, Matthew 6:33. Even in this life, it is not for our good to depart from the will of our Father in heaven. Listen to this. This is the point I want you to get. When we learn the power of his word, we shall not follow the suggestions of Satan in order to obtain food or to save our lives. Did you hear that? When we learn the power of his word, we would not follow the suggestions of Satan to get food or to save our lives. Some of us follow the suggestions of Satan because it tastes good. We've got a long way to go, friends. You've got to be at the point where a true person who's a person going to heaven will not follow the suggestions of Satan to eat or to save his life. Help us, Lord. We all need help, brothers and sisters. Now, let me give you some consolation. The same writer tells us the grace and strength to be a martyr is not given till it's needed. So what I'm telling you right, what I'm reading to you, I don't have that power right now, but I don't need that power right now. But what God is telling me to do today, am I faithful in the little things? And I'll be faithful in the majority of the big things. God has promised that. It goes on to say, even if in this life, if it is not for our good to depart from the will of our Father, when we learn the power of his word, we shall not follow the suggestions of Satan in order to obtain food or to save our lives. Listen to this. Our only questions will be, what is God's command and what his promise? Knowing these, we shall obey the one and trust the other. You don't have that kind of mindset in the church today, brothers and sisters, prevalently in the church today. It's not prevalent among the leadership in our churches today, this kind of mindset where we will do what is right. If you wouldn't compromise to get food or to save your life, you surely wouldn't compromise to get some money for your hospitals and schools. We don't have the majority of people in leadership that are converted. Bottom line. It says, now remember, it says, our only questions will be, what is God's command and what his promise? Knowing these, we shall obey the one. That's the command, and trust the other, the promise. In the last great conflict of the controversy with Satan, those who are loyal to God will see every earthly support cut off. Did you catch that? We'll see every earthly support cut off. Because they refuse to break his law in obedience to earthly powers, they will be forbidden to buy or sell. That's Revelation chapter 13, that no man might buy or sell save he that. So brothers and sisters, when we tell you about the importance of the Sabbath and the importance about not compromising in this way, it's real. You're not going to make it in the time of the end as it gets closer to the final crisis. So get with God now. Because they refuse to break his law in obedience to earthly powers, they will be forbidden to buy or sell. It will finally be decreed that they should be put to death. That is Bible, friends. The Bible tells us that in Revelation 13, that those who don't receive the mark of the beast, that would be that the United States of America would lead the world into that child of the papacy called Sunday worship, and that those who don't do it will be decreed to be put to death. It didn't say they would die. It said they would be decreed. But prior to that decree, there's going to be a lot of bloodshed. Brother, there's going to, and sister, there's going to be famine. This world is going down, okay? America is going down. The Bible says so. And so don't put your trust in what we trust in today. Don't put your trust in a political opponent. Stop talking politics, especially on the Holy Sabbath day. Some people go to church and you hear them talking about Trump and Biden. Now, if it's mentioned in a manner where God is glorified to talk about how these men need to come up higher in their walk with God, that's different. But I'm talking about the Democrats in church against the Republicans in church, or the Republicans all huddling together, or the Democrats all huddling together talking about politics on the Holy Sabbath day. That's prevalent, brothers and sisters. And preachers preaching that foolishness from the pulpit. Shame on us. May God help us, friends. I hope that these three quotes, they mean a lot to me. I strive to follow these. I want to call sin by its right name and be that kind of man I should be. I want to do what is right because it is right and leave the consequences of with God. I want to ask two questions. What is God's command and what is his promise? And knowing these, I want to obey the one and trust the other. I hope you want to be that kind of man and woman today. Don't you, friends? That's who God will honor. He said in 1 Samuel 2:30, them that honor me, I will honor. Let's pray. Dear Father, we've heard sobering words from the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy. We thank you for the truth, however. We thank you that it breaks down barriers. We thank you that it has a ring to it that cannot be gainsaid. We thank you that it is right. We thank you that we can surrender to your will even today. So, Father, during this prayer, we surrender. We say, Lord, we want to be like that. We want to be part of that greatest men and women of the world. We want to ask those two questions. What is God's command and what his promise? And we want to do what is right because it's right and leave the consequences with God. We ask that you bless us now on this Tuesday. Help us to be faithful to you in the name of the sweet and lovely Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with a health message from Sister Donna. And she will be talking to us on the subject of the effects of a flesh diet on the mind and soul. Time for our break, and that is from the torso with the torso song at this time.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed. by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs and cheese line your greasy. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases, the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God,
I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Praise God. Sister Donna.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor. How are you today?
Wonderful, sis. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everyone on the line. I will be reading to you today on the effect of a flesh diet on the mind and the soul. The moral evils of a flesh diet are not less marked than all the physical ills. Flesh food is injurious to health, and whatever affects the body has a corresponding effect on the mind and the soul. A meat diet changes the disposition and strengthens animalism. We are composed of what we eat, and eating much flesh will diminish intellectual activity. Students would accomplish much more in their studies if they never tasted meat. When the animal part of the human agent is strengthened by meat eating, the intellectual powers diminish proportionately. If ever there was a time when the diet should be of the most simple kind, it is now. Meat should not be placed before our children. Its influence is to excite and strengthen the lower passions and has a tendency to deaden the moral powers. Greater reforms should be seen among the people who claim to be looking for the soon appearing of Christ. Let me repeat that. Greater reforms should be seen among the people who claim to be looking for the soon appearing of Christ. Health reform is to do among our people a work which it has not yet done. There are those who ought to be awake to the danger of meat eating who are still eating the flesh of animals, thus endangering the physical, mental, and spiritual health. Many who are now only half converted on the question of meat eating will go from God's people to walk no more with them. Those who claim to believe the truth are to guard carefully the powers of body and mind so that God and his cause will not be in any way dishonored by their words or actions. The habits and practices are to be brought into subjection to the will of God. We are to give careful attention to our diet. It has been clearly presented to me that God's people are to take a firm stand against meat eating. Would God for 30 years give his people the message that if they desire to have pure blood and clear minds, they must give up the use of flesh meat, if he did not want them to heed this message? I need to read that again. Would God for 30 years give his people the message that if they desire to have pure blood and clear minds, they must give up the use of flesh meat if he did not want them to heed his message? By the use of flesh meat, the animal nature is strengthened and the spiritual nature weakened. This reading comes to you from Counsels for the Church by Ellen G. White. Thank you and have an awesome and blessed day with the Lord Jesus.
Amen. That's a blessing. God's healthy, plant-based diet. That's the best diet. Roll call time. Sharing and caring begins with Facebook, and we have someone, I'm not sure where this individual is from. June is the name. I'm not sure what state, but we've got Georgia. We have a good morning from Sister Vicky. We have Florida. Good morning from Sister Bernadette. We have South Carolina. We have Michigan. We have Virginia with a good morning from Sister Gloria. We have a good morning from Peyton out of North Carolina. And good encouraging word from Sister Bernadette there. All right. On the call, we have Ohio again. We have Alabama. We have Maryland. We have Delaware again. We have Ohio. We have Iowa. We have New York. And we have Michigan. Phone lines are open. Press star 6 if you'd like to share anything. Friends, we have actually about 13 minutes to the top of the hour. Plenty of time. If there is anyone that has a comment or question, and we've got Sister Leilani on the line. Good morning, Sister Leilani.
Yes. While you were giving the presentation today, my call suddenly dropped, and I thought it might have been on your side. So I held on, and then I hung up and dialed back, and I could hear you. So just wanted to find out if there was any problems on your end.
No, we didn't have any problems on our end as far as we know.
Okay. Well, then I'll listen to it on the replay line.
Yes, ma'am. All right. God bless you. Was there anything else we can do for you this morning? Guess not. We've got Sister Lenny on the line. Good morning, Sister Lenny.
Good morning. My niece that we've been praying for that had the thyroid surgery, she now has pneumonia. So I'm just asking that you would pray for her. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Amen. Let's pray for Sister Lenny's niece. Brothers and sisters, obviously we're going to mention these things in prayer, but when we have these prayer requests on the broadcast, we hope that you all take these things to the Lord in prayer. That's important, that we pray for one another, not just for us to pray on the broadcast, but for us to lift up people. People have needs. People are in bondage. People are in the bondage of sickness. People are grieving. People have great decisions to make. So let's pray one for another. All right, we've got Sister Donna on the call. Good morning, Sister Donna.
Good morning again, brothers and sisters and pastor. I just wanted to request prayer for the prayer ministry that I am currently serving on. And then not just for that prayer ministry, but for all the ministries of God. Because we as his children need to remember that we work for him. We are not in this to show off what we know or for our own glorification, but it is for the glory of our Father in heaven. Thank you.
You're welcome, sister. Wonderful thing to pray for those who pray. Praise God. All right. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything before we wrap it up for this morning? Okay, we'll ask my wife, Undreamed Of, to take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. And now, Lord, we like to lift up to you the petitions that have been requested. We like to pray for Sister Lenny's niece, asking that you would help her to be able to overcome her sickness of pneumonia. We ask, Lord, that her hopes and her inspirations would be centered around you and that she would be able to receive healing. We pray that you would be with dear Sister Donna as she is hosting a prayer line, and we just pray, Lord, for her work in those efforts and for those that are with her on the line, that all would be done in accordance with your will. And we do pray for all ministries. We know that it is your desire that we all participate in doing our part as we have been commanded to do by you, Lord, and let us be able to do that faithfully. We pray that you will touch every heart in a special way and be with us throughout the day with your Spirit leading, guiding, instructing, and directing us. And may we take time to pause throughout the day to give you praise, glory, and honor, and to seek you, Lord, for counsel, for advice, for decision-making. Help us, Lord, to remember we can't do anything without you, but with you all things are possible. Thank you for being our God who loves us, and thank you for being a God who has promised to send his Son, Jesus Christ, to us, to redeem us, and to keep us with you all forever. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear Jesus, for all that you do and have done for mankind. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, we do our part in faith, God. Open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, dear brethren, is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.